Well, I think everybody got concerned when we started off very cold and very snowy during the month of November. In fact, that's a far cry from what we experienced the last couple winters. But then we've turned the dime now lately, and we've seen all that heavy snow in the Upper Great Lakes disappear for the most part. Those big lake effect storms that were making the news, that's disappeared. And what we've started to see is the attention turning to California with these big storms coming on shore. And really, to me, this is just an overall picture of a building El Nino event. It's not going to be a strong El Nino event, but what we are starting to see is activity coming into the western United States that we didn't see in its entirety last winter. And, of course, we've seen a very strong and severe drought expand and intensify as the winter progressed. With those storms coming on shore, we're starting to see a return to the moisture in California, but more importantly, that's pushing a ridging pattern that was dominant over the western United States further inland. And so the cold air is getting shunted much toward the northeastern United States. We're not getting that coming down the pipeline like we did in November. And we're starting to see these storms that come into California break apart as they come inland, meaning that some of the energy is going to the north and some to the south, and everybody caught in between is left high and dry. So as these systems come out of the western United States, one piece of energy rolls across the southern plains, the rest of it goes across the northern plains. In Nebraska, we're kind of caught between these two competing jet streams, and we don't have a lot of active weather. Now, as we go forward in time, one of the things that we do note that here in the central plains is that as the El Nino event unfolds, it goes through its normal routine of intensifying as we get into the Christmas period, and then it starts to weaken as we get past Christmas and kind of dissipates as we get into the spring, is that these systems, as they come in, will they continue the southerly path, and how long will that occur? Because that should be very good news for the southern wheat belt and up the eastern seaboard, but we start to see a drier pattern establish itself into the eastern corn belt and the northern plains. So if this system itself, or this El Nino event, dies down quicker, will return to a more progressive pattern with these troughs coming in the western United States. The energy won't split, and we roll across the country. And typically what we've seen in those winters where this type of pattern sets up is we get some big late snows in the central plains. We have severe weather outbreaks to the south of us. But the overall impact is that as we look at the entire season, we tend to be centered on colder than normal conditions and above normal moisture during that critical February, March, and April period. In the same token, that dry pattern tends to expand in the central and eastern corn belt, and therefore we wait to see whether or not the El Nino event returns for a second year, or is it weakened enough that the northern jet becomes a dominant player. And from that standpoint, as we go in the spring, we need to see where the jet stream configuration is, because one of the things that happens is with this split flow is that northern jet remains to our north, and if it doesn't come back to its mean position by the end of the winter, everything's displaced farther to the north, and our normal frontal boundary pressures that we rely on during the growing season tend to be suppressed, and there's where you worry about that intensity of the heat starting to build as you get into the summer and the shutoff of precipitation. But overall, at this standpoint, because we had such a wet period during that late August through the early part of October across the state, we're actually sitting with very good soil moisture profile measurements compared to where we were in the last preceding 2 or 3 years. So we're actually ahead of the game. And with these warmer temperatures, the ground is starting to thaw out. So if we do get additional precipitation events, it's more likely they're going to get into the profile instead of being in the form of a runoff component, which sets us up for certain areas of the state that are going to be at risk for flooding problems next spring. And those are those areas that were hit particularly hard with the heavy precipitation during this late summer, early fall period. East central southeast through central Nebraska, that's that core area. Then we have some areas of the panhandle that are also in the same boat. You know, even if we go dry, I'm not too concerned about it this winter. We just don't get a lot of precipitation anyhow. The important criteria for me is what's going to happen during that March and April period, because if it's colder and wetter than normal, that's going to lead to some planting delay issues. It does give us the ability to recharge the entire profile and actually help our hydrological situation, but I always get concerned that we'll shut that precipitation off. We get too much of a good thing, and then we shut it off and get that hot, dry spell. But overall, at this standpoint, we would say that conditions are very favorable going into next growing season just based on soil moisture, but we know more soil moisture is more than the only thing in this game, and certainly temperatures and precipitation during the growing season are going to be an important factor where our yields finally bear out. But when you get a part of the equation sitting good, you feel a little bit more comfortable in the spring in regards to average conditions. And if we have average conditions across the Corn Belt, we're going to have big yields this year in corn once again. But it's whether or not we're going to see these dry pockets that are starting to materialize in the northern plains and portions of the eastern Corn Belt, whether or not they expand and intensify as we go through the spring like we would typically expect during an El Nino. And if they do that, you'll start to see the market get a little bit antsy as we get into spring planting season, and especially if there's signs that that pattern is going to only intensify going into the first half of the growing season.